You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. Third and final hour is here now, and it has been a different kind of show tonight. One guest, 2 hours. Very rare, very unusual that we do that, but we do like to mix things up from time to time, and it's hard to argue with the results, Keith Alexander.
I tell you, this is a decompression chamber now for the next hour. There's so much.
Well, we got other things we want to cover this hour, and we're going to be covering different news items this hour that you and I are going to be mopping up now and closing the show. What am I putting in the notes here? Let's see. How did I word it? James Edwards and Keith Alexander put the finishing touches on another great broadcast. Well, that's true. That's what we're going to be doing this hour. But before we do that, I know you wanted to have a little bit of a response to everything we've talked about the last 2 hours, and then we'll move on to plow new ground.
Well, David is right that we have to basically name the Jew. And it's not for, you know, we're not being fanciful. We're not trying to make a new reality. We just want the reality to come out.
This was the last point I was making before we ran out of time with him, was that, you know, people sort of shudder and cower and fearfully to even mention that. But I'm looking at this story, and we've been very clear about this, and we've said this many times. We're looking at different issues, whatever the issue may be. And if the person happens to be Jewish, we point out that this is a Jewish person, just as it would be pointed out if somebody's covering us that we're white. Or
if you're a white Southerner, they'll certainly let you know. If there's something negative associated with a white Southerner, you will find out that
you'll
person
find out
is
what
a
you,
white
they'll, they'll let you know that you are white. And then, of course, in the case we were talking about at the very top of the show, the Daniel Penny case, that the black mayor of New York certainly, in the first word out of his mouth, this was the black man. So, you know, you can point these things out. And I've always, you know, I guess sort of, I'm not joking. I mean, I do know why. But to point it out in and of itself isn't a hateful thing. Say, this person happens to be Jewish and who happens to be in control of this company. These are just matters of fact. These aren't matters of faith. They're matters of fact. And as we've said, this is the point, too. If all of these people who happen to be Jewish and who happen to have this disproportionate amount of power and control over our institutions were doing things that we thought were to the benefit of the American experiment or of our faith or of our people, we would be their biggest cheerleaders. It has nothing to do with
exactly. Yeah. If they all of a sudden woke up tomorrow and decided they were going to support the conservative or the right wing of viewpoint on anything, we would be their biggest allies. Here is the problem. We have to all be racial realists and ethnic realists. In other words, name it. You know, they're going to name us whenever there's something negative and not name us if there's something positive.
And to this end, and of course, when they name us, they don't just mention that we're white. Since we just mentioned, hey, this guy is Jewish, this woman's Jewish, this judge is Jewish, this reporter's Jewish, this owner of this media
is because they
but,
are.
But we call them what they are. They are Jewish. They don't call us white. They call us white supremacists. They call us this, that, and the other. Marjorie Taylor Greene, by the way, just back in the news this week, getting excoriated by the people who are in control of the media.
the people that go to worship services on Saturday.
Marjorie Taylor Greene claims that being called white supremacist is the same as calling a person of color that word that they call each other, but they don't like when other people call them.
Well, that's exactly right. For example, when we were talking with David about book burning in Nazi Germany, one of the guys whose books were burned routinely during that period of time was Magnus Hirschfeld. Who was Magnus Hirschfeld? He was one of the first so-called, quote-unquote, sexologists. He was a Jewish homosexual who was big in the depravity of Weimar Republic Germany. He was one of the first transgender advocates. He basically invented transgenderism. And another thing that is really telling, he was also the guy that coined the phrase or the term racist. Before 1935, in the publication of his book by the same name, nobody would have known what you were talking about if you mentioned somebody as being a racist. They would have thought you were talking about Barney Oldfield or some Indianapolis race car driver or something like this. A racist, as a pejorative and a put-down, was invented by Magnus Hirschfeld, who was German, Jewish, homosexual, and an advocate of transgenderism. Now, see, a lot of people in the civil rights movement, whatnot, the so-called sacred civil rights movement, don't want you to make that connection. But that connection is very important. You know, you shall know them by their fruits. If your fruit is as bad as Magnus Hirschfeld's, then if you are the person that invented the concept of racism, that's very important. That's something that people in America and Europe and elsewhere need to know. Racism is just as bad, or the thing is, the race issue, the civil rights movement and whatnot, is just as bad as the transgendered movement. We've got to basically get over that particular hurdle. As long as you allow them to go back to the civil rights movement and you agree that it's all righteous and holy, then you've given them safe harbor. It's like the Ho Chi Minh Trail during the Vietnam War. The people from, you know, the Viet Cong could go there and lick their wounds, gather their strength, and come back. That's how the left uses the civil rights movement. Have you ever noticed that whenever you have a new left-wing movement like transgenderism and they run into rough water, what does Hollywood do? They create another reminiscence about the civil rights movement to remind all of the world how righteous and holy liberals and left-wingers are. That's what we've got to explode. We've got to basically change that reality and let people know that the real reality is that all of this stuff came from the same poisonous tree.
All right. Well, there you have it. And do you remember the story? I gotta say this. I don't know if we mentioned this last week. Somebody emailed me tonight while David was on and said you should remind them of this story. And I don't know if we did last week. Do you remember the story last week we covered about the Texas Roadhouse, purported incident at Texas Roadhouse, yeah, where all the whites came in and all they were doing were using
and
racial
babies with Confederate flag diapers on.
They were all using allegedly using racial epithets, and it caused the black man to go out and cry by the dumpster, and now he's getting counseling. And but, you know, there was no evidence of it. Well, somebody reminded me of the fact that, hey, tell the story while David's on about the time y'all were all eating and the black man came, recognized David, and paid for everybody's meal. And that's a fact. I don't know if we got into that story last week. We've told it on the program before for other people. David Duke this, David Duke that, evil Nazi, racist, anti-Semite.
It's like Elvis having the George Wallace sign in the front lawn of Grayson.
Well, what happened was when David was running for governor, he had rented out an entire restaurant for his party. And there was a black church that was on the road. And they had pulled into this restaurant because they wanted something to eat before the restaurant closed. This was back in the early 90s. And the restaurant owner said, I'm sorry, we'd love to, but this is the restaurant's booked out tonight for a private event, which was one of David Duke's campaign events. And David heard about it, went out there and said, no, you let all these people in. There's plenty of room. They're welcome to come in and eat. Now, this was an entirely black church. That was in the early 90s. This is a story you never hear about David Duke. And then fast forward to the mid-2000s, David and I were hosting a conference together, and there was about a group of 20 of us after the events of the day. We had gone over to eat at a restaurant, and that same pastor from the early 90s, fast forward to the mid-2000s, he recognizes David, and he comes and pays for the whole table. He said, I'll never forget your kindness that night, and I want to pick up the tab for your whole party. It had to be thousands of dollars.
People can get out
gotta
of
take a break.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Okay, so that's the thing I want to re-impress, and it is this courtesy, this loyalty that I extend to my compatriots isn't just afforded to David Duke. It's afforded to everybody that we work with. Any guest that I've ever had on this program, anybody I've ever worked with, if you have proven your worth to me, that you are honorable, that you are a good person, I don't care what the media says about you. If I make that determination, if I come to that conclusion, I'll go all out for you. I mean, David Duke is the one guy I think that everybody knows. If you followed politics, American politics at all in the 20th century, you know the name David Duke. I don't think there's anybody that's been more attacked than him, and certainly in America, living, or perhaps even the world. But that's what I'm saying is, I know him personally. He is a good man. He is a friend. We have vacationed together. We've had all of these experiences together, including the one that I just shared. And when I know that, your lies are not going to run me off of my position. But Keith, we ran into that break. You were making a comment on the story that we just retold from that particular supper that night.
Well, the thing about David Duke, he's like the old Dr. Pepper commercials. They said Dr. Pepper was so misunderstood. So is David Duke. David Duke, if you listen to his words, if you consider the totality of the circumstances, and even more, if you know him personally, you know he's one, a truth teller, and two, he's an honest and honorable man.
All right. Now, let's move on to another truth teller who came out with an article. This was a great... It's not that Ann Coulter doesn't normally write interesting articles.
Everything she did, she has a rapier wit. That's what separates her from the herd. She's smart, so is Pat Buchanan, so are a lot of other people. But nobody has that rapier wit like Ann Coulter.
What do David Duke, Pat Buchanan, and Ann Coulter all have in common?
They were disliked by the mainstream
media.
Well,
there's that, of course. They've also all appeared on this program.
Yeah,
anyway,
exactly. That's right.
Okay, no biggie, just the end of civilization, when race trumps merit. That's the name of the piece. Now, typically when we offer a little commentary or opinion or analysis on an article, we pull a couple of paragraphs and then go to town. But this one was so good, I couldn't really pare it down. So I'm going to read the majority of this column, but what I'm going to do is, Keith, when that light goes off, when I read something that you want to comment in, I want you to ring the bell. And then that'll let me, I'll pause wherever I'm at, bring you in, you make your comment, and I'll continue. So this is what happened. Let's practice ringing the bell. This is what Keith's going to do when he's ready to chime in. Let's see. We might have to turn the bell up a little bit. Let me get the bell on
my. It's a little bit slow in the uptake, too.
All right, hang on. Let's pull it up on the we'll put it up on your monitor here so you can play it. Let's see. There it is. All right. Now, here's what you're going to do, Keith. Let's see. Let's practice. Oh, they're going to run an ad before we can even play the thing here. This is again, live radio. All right. Where's the sound now? Keith, you got to get your sound up. Let's see. All right. There it is. What in the world? There it is. I had to turn my monitor on. All right. Here it is. This is what Keith's going to do. That's it. That's as simple as it gets. So we can really overcomplicate some things from time to time. All right. You ready to ring the bell when you got a comment?
I'm ready to ring that bell like Anita Ward said. You can ring my bell.
Okay. Ann Coulter's piece, and I will begin. Whatever you had planned to do with the rest of the day, please drop it and read this right now. Heather McDonald's new book, When Race Trumps Merit, How the Pursuit of Equity Sacrifices Excellence, Destroys Beauty, and Threatens Lives. And I've said that before. Beauty is where egalitarianism goes to die. Everybody knows what a beautiful woman is. Everybody knows what a obese woman is, and they're not equal.
And it's so ironic that in today's world, they're trying to tell you that obesity is beauty.
Well, go to Target, and you see the models on the wall. It's obese women in their bra and panties. It's disgusting.
Something will run me out of the store. That'll do it.
It seems that in the hysteria that followed George Floyd's death in 2000, we agreed to destroy all of Western civilization, law, music, art, education, policing, science, and medicine to make up for black people not doing well on standardized tests. McDonald's cites not hundreds, but thousands of institutions that have flung aside standards in order to more fully dedicate themselves to the sole driving purpose of our nation, boosting black people's self-esteem. To consider just one area, I don't think you're going to like the medical care you'll be getting under the new regime. Just like in the wildly successful Soviet Union, science must be subordinated to politics, specifically racial justice. The American Medical Association, the Association of Medical Colleges, and the American Association of Pediatrics have all agreed that medicine is racist. The New England Journal of Medicine, quote, presents a nonstop stream of articles on such topics as the pathology of racism towards anti-racist allyship in medicine, how structural racism works, racist policies as a root cause of U.S. racial health inequities, McDonald writes. And Scientific American produced a special collector's edition on the science of overcoming racism. Well, let's just pause. Well, you don't even have to. Oh, he's got it there. He's going to ring the bell. He's going to ring it. Okay. I was going to pause and bring you in, but you were already getting the bell out. All right, let's go right there. We'll continue on with the column. But instead of actually pursuing true medical science, this is why we can't do anything in space anymore. NASA was racist, space exploration was racist, and then we can't do
and our military will be the next thing to fall. This is what it,
God willing.
Yeah.
About that.
Well,
one,
see,
but
this is what we need to understand. If you don't have meritocracy, which is objectively determining who is the best, it's like having a track meet without a stopwatch or without, you know, seeing what's going on. Ann Coulter made the combination of the comparison between the Soviet Union and their approach to science and the way that the woke left wants us to handle science and medicine today. What is the connection between the Soviet Union and today's America? Both are run by Bolshevik Jews. They're the ones that set the standards. They're the ones that decide that we can't have standards if other people that they favor over us win the race. What we need to understand about wokeness is that it is anti-white Gentile primarily. You boil it down, that's who they want to thrust to the back of the line. That's who they want to kick down to the bottom of the totem pole. And they are trying to raise everyone else, but particularly blacks, homosexuals, other so-called marginalized groups above us. How can they do it? They've got to eliminate standards, objective standards like, what is your SAT score? What is your MCAT score if you're going to medical school? All of those things they're trying to jettison. And what's going to happen when they jettison them? You're going to get unqualified people in key positions.
Now,
in society.
It's one thing if you are giving affirmative action and set-asides and quotas to a garbage truck worker or something like that. But when you're getting into the field of surgeons and medicine and pilots and things like that, I mean, now you're playing with real life and death.
Yeah, well,
this isn't a government bureaucracy type of job that they excel in. This is something that...
I was reading an article today about the new military, the new guy they've got set up, a black guy, to take Mark Milley's place. And he basically wants to have a, you know, raise the number of minority pilots or female pilots to a certain number, and same thing for officers in the Air Force, things like that.
But as we're saying, they don't necessarily have to have the same level of competence.
Well, you know, basically what they're going to do, if they have 50% non-white male fighter pilots in the Air Force, 50% of our Air Force is going to be worthless or an actual liability to America because they can't perform.
Keith. Which doctors are doctors too?
That's right, yeah.
I keep going, and I'll continue to read on the other side of this.
No, go ahead.
Oh, you want me to keep going? All right. Well, we only have a minute left, so why don't you, before we go to this next break, I don't want to get into it and get in deep, and then we have to come up for air before we're ready. So why don't you just...
Well, see, this is the affirmative action thing. Affirmative action was the first phase. Now they want to jettison all standards. Even with affirmative action, they can't get the numbers they want to have a remade society where white people are at the bottom of the totem pole and black people are at the top. So what do? They jettison all standards. And then we're all in jeopardy. If you go to the hospital and you get an affirmative action doctor or somebody that doesn't qualify to be a doctor who has the credentials, you're liable to die. You're liable to be a victim of medical malpractice. But again, they will ignore that, and they won't report about it. And if they don't report about it, guess what? In the eyes of most people, it doesn't exist.
All right. I guess I will continue to read on for a moment. Then we'll take our break. And there's still so much more to unpack from this latest from Ann Coulter. The Journal of...
All you had to do is start to talk.
We're going to tell you what the Journal of the American Medical Association, what happened to one of their principals recently. He's out of a job. What did he do?
Told the truth.
We'll find out. Stay tuned.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Rich Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, these individuals, a sample of the first few minutes of
a House oversight panel hearing alleging the unfair targeting of conservatives by the FBI. Florida Republican Greg Stubbe summed up the allegations made by former FBI agent Steve Friend.
So you followed inside protocol for the FBI, utilizing whistleblower statute protection information regulations through the FBI to make your complaints and information be known?
Yes.
And you did that to your supervisors?
Three levels of supervisors.
Three levels of supervisors, and the response to that was losing your security clearance, shutting you out, losing your job, taking away your pay.
That's correct.
Democrats on the panel say Republicans just want to disable and eventually dismantle the FBI. The Supreme Court's ruled the families of victims of terrorism may not sue social media companies over terror-related content on those sites.
A group of families sued the biggest tech companies, Google, Facebook, Twitter, essentially saying that the tech companies had allowed ISIS propaganda to proliferate on their platforms, that they knew this content was out there, and they were essentially steering young men to this content using a sophisticated set of algorithms.
NBC correspondent Laura Jarrett says it was a unanimous decision by the court. New York Congressman George Santos's communication director has quit. Nasa Wormer says Santos never took one bit of professional advice, and she is honored to tender her resignation. The agency that hired photographers to take pictures of Prince Harry and wife Meghan in New York Tuesday night denies the couple's claims that paparazzi pursuing them nearly caused several serious accidents. It says instead the royal security team was the aggressor. The Wall Street Journal says ESPN's working on a standalone streaming service bypassing cable, satellite, or streaming bundles. No word on a timeline. This is USA News.
Finding great people to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack.
but not with ZipRecruiter. Their powerful matching technology delivers so many qualified candidates, it's like finding a needle in a needle stack. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. For less hay and more needles, head to ZipRecruiter.
And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you test and inject daily, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Everybody, James and Keith, breaking down this Ann Coulter article, No Biggie, Just the End of Civilization. We continue now. The Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, J-A-M-A, aired a podcast in 2021 in which the deputy editor, Edward Livingston, suggested that inequities in medical care can be addressed without accusing doctors of racism. He was promptly fired and replaced with a black woman. Black leaders now, and remember, Keith, ring that bell when you're ready for me to stop and give you a stab at it. Black leaders now head up the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, the Cleveland Clinic Cancer Center, the University of Chicago Comprehensive Cancer Center, the University of Pittsburgh Division of Medical Hematology Oncology, the Wake Forest School of Medicine, Virginia Commonwealth University's School of Pharmacy, the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences, the Massey Cancer Center at VCU, the University of Miami Miller School of Medicine, and the Department of Medicine at UCLA's Medical School. What could go wrong? Coulter asks. Most of America's largest cities have black mayors and everything's fine.
Well, here's what is going wrong. If I'm glad she gave us that comprehensive list of cancer centers that are headed up by blacks. If you want to die quickly of cancer, go to one of those places and get your treatment.
Now, people are going to say that's racist. People are going to say that's a racist statement, because why are you saying that? Because they're black and not white? I mean, blacks are just...
Because we know from experience that these people did not get these positions except here, in a rare outlier situation, unless they were black. Well, they were not chosen based on merit, based on demonstrated competence, based on medical diagnostic skills. We need people to be selected for high positions in our government, in our hierarchy, in our institutions, based on their intelligence and their capabilities.
Now, you are assuming...
You're not going to pick, for example, they're not going to pick me to be a center on an NBA team, okay? They're not going to pick,
me as a hair club for men's.
Yeah, right, yeah. But see, that's what they want. They want you to pick people regardless of qualifications. Now, it's so ironic that when it comes to athletics, it's devil take the hindmost. You got to have the fastest, the largest, the guy that jumps the highest. But when it comes to stuff in society that really matters, like medical care, like intelligence in high positions, like being a lawyer, being an accountant, being an architect, you know, do you want an affirmative action architect designing a skyscraper in your town and
all right,
have
well, listen,
the whole thing come down?
So you're saying that as a general rule, with exceptions for certain individuals, that blacks are not scoring as high or not as capable in these fields as whites. Now, what do we back that up with? Here is this. Here are the facts. Here's the thing. Here are the facts. The facts don't care about your feelings. Ann Coulter has the statistics right here from this research that Heather McDonald, who wrote this book that Ann Coulter is reviewing, shares. In 2021, and then right back to you, Keith, in 2021, McDonald writes, this is absolutely, actually quite scary. The average score for white applicants on the medical college admissions test, that's the MCAT, was in the 71st percentile. The average score for black applicants was in the 35th percentile, a full standard deviation before the average white score. So that's not saying that, you know, the white scored marginally better, but in the name of diversity, it's only just a little bit better. Let's put some blacks in these positions. No, you're talking about them scoring twice as well.
Well, they're also trying to run whites out. For example, at the University of Tennessee Medical School here in Memphis, Tennessee, basically, if you go there and look at the student body, like in a class break, it looks like the United Nations on lunch break. You see everybody except a straight white male. They get soy boys, they get blacks, they get foreigners, they get women,
Indians,
people with turbans, everything except a normal American from around this area. On the other hand, thank goodness there's an alternative way to get into the medical profession now, and that's through osteopath school. That's where most of the straight white males are going in order to get positions as doctors. If it wasn't for that, we would have a medical profession filled with homosexuals, lesbians, and soy boys, and blacks. That's what they want.
All right. So what happened now? What was the official response when you have, as a group, whites coming in at twice as well as black, 71st percentile to the 35th percentile? Coulter tells us what happened. Naturally, therefore, medical schools responded by dropping the MCAT for black and Hispanic students, offering them admission on the basis of their, quote, strong appreciation of human rights and social justice as the School of Medicine
at
Mount
Sinai.
That was the School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. You don't have to score well, but if you have a strong appreciation for social justice, we'll give you the job.
This is a recipe for devolving America into a third world nation. You're going to have doctors that are unqualified. You're going to have lawyers, architects, others who are unqualified. Any position that you have is going to be what you have with, you know, talk about the black mayors. Well, that's why a lot of American cities have devolved into third world status because of the people running them. Corruption is a third world value. That is what you see more and more in American politics, particular urban politics.
Now listen to this. This is where it gets even more frightening. Another exam, we talked about the MCAT. How about the United States Medical Licensing Exam, the USMLE? Once again here on the USMLE, white students, medical students, scored again a standard deviation, a full standard deviation above the black students. So this is the test given after the second year of med school to evaluate students' knowledge of anatomy, biochemistry, pharmacology, physiology, and so on. It's a multiple choice test and it's graded by computer, USMLE. This is for medical licensing. And the conclusion was, when whites again lapped blacks on this test, just like with the MCAT, the computer itself is racist. So in January of 2022, the USMLE dropped grades altogether and converted it to pass-fail. Well, there's a big difference between somebody who barely squeaks by and someone who excels. So on one hand, nobody's going to get a bad grade. But on the other hand, there'll be no way to distinguish one medical student from another, whether black, white, or Asian. Research laboratories, residencies, hospitals, and medical centers like the Mayo Clinic are just going to have to roll the dice on that one.
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to allow people to masquerade as doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, and
they're
whatnot.
Not going to be masquerading.
Well, the thing is,
well, they might be pretending, but they're going to be able to do all
the things.
It's going
to be LARPing. It's live action role playing is what they're doing. But see, if you have a doctor that can't do his function, it's like having a somebody like we have in Memphis who is running the license plate bureau that doesn't know how to run a business, doesn't care to learn how to have it. They look at that position, that elected position, not as a public trust that they are responsible for and they need to serve the public. They see it as a sinecure. They think they ought to get paid for doing nothing. And when you call them out on their incompetence, they get indignant. This is what typically happens. And what happens is if you have the misfortune to live in a city like that, like Memphis, like Chicago, like New York, like San Francisco, whatever, you're going to live in a environment that is devolving either slowly or quickly into third world status. You can't get things fixed. You can't rely on the police. You can't rely on the license plate bureau to get your license. There are lots of businesses in Memphis, for example, that relied, you know, car dealerships and whatnot, in getting license plates to the people that buy cars from them. They can't do that now. And they're at, you know, what did they do to correct the situation in Memphis? Well, they hired somebody to help the incompetent person in charge of the license plate bureau. Guess what she was? Another black female ex-politician. So, you know, you talk about the blind leading the blind. They're not going to see, they will not acknowledge. See, their excuse for their incompetence is white racism, when the real excuse is black incompetence.
All right. Well, so it's not just fun and games anymore. Again, I mean, positions like that, yeah, if you go and get your tags renewed in person, you're going to wait there 6 or 7 hours, but you're going to survive.
You have to come back several times. It's like being in Haiti or in Zimbabwe.
But you're going to survive. You might not survive affirmative action at this level. And we got one more. We're continuing to break this down, a deep dive into this latest column by Culture. We'll be right back to wrap it up. To wrap up the entire show for tonight. Stay tuned.
In Message 1, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, then you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog, with exclusive offerings like Rebel Mountain by Kurt Eggers, a brand new reprint of the infamous You Gentiles by Marie Samuel, and now the treatise of a January 6th prisoner in the American regime. There is something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the complete catalog today at AntelopeHillPublishing.com. That's AntelopeHillPublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to check out AntelopeHillPublishing.com.
One more segment in another show that has gone by far too quickly. Thank you for being with us. Please, folks, remember to support the work we're doing here. We need it. Inflation is rampant, and the cost of running this operation are more expensive than ever before. I mean, the cost to send a single letter, that's about a dollar. I mean, if you take in the envelope we have to buy, and the copy we have to make, and the return envelope, and the stamps go up. The stamps go about 3 cents every month now.
Yeah, I know. It's just, and again, what are the reasons? What is happening in America is that I'm not saying that all black people are incompetent. They're not. We have very incompetent.
And obviously, there's not all white people are competent, because if they were, we would have never allowed this situation to present itself.
Well, part of that is not incompetence. It's part of, you know, the T.S. Eliot poem, "The Hollow Man." This is the way the world will end, not with a bang, but a whimper. People decided that it was better to not fight but switch, rather than, you know, the old
I got something on that.
But let me say this first.
Okay.
Before we get to that, what has happened is what we were never told back in the Civil Rights Movement. We assumed, for example, when the 64 Civil Rights Act was passed, that rather than having race as a factor, it would all be on merit. And white people said, well, I don't have anything to fear from that. If it's, you know, getting into law school, getting into medical school, getting a position with a company or something, if it's going to go to the best candidate, I'll take my chances on that. But then the left found out that they had a Pyrrhic victory. They had the right, theoretically, for black people to get into law school and medical school, but they weren't getting in. What we assumed back then was that maybe the talented 10th would find some way in, but the most of black people would not. Well, that's not good enough for the left and for the Jewish power and influence hierarchy that seems to run America today. They want they want more than just numerical standards. They don't want, for example, if blacks are 13% of the U.S. population, they're not satisfied with 13% of the medical school slots. They want they want to fill up the medical school with black people, and white people are, you know, they're to be forgotten and frozen out if possible.
Let's finish this article. You've done a great job on the bell, but I'm just going to finish it now. I'm going to read four more paragraphs, and then we'll continue this discussion. But this is where the rubber meets the road in Ann Coulter's piece here. She writes that, luckily, learning to identify and treat disease isn't such a big deal at today's medical schools anyway. Instead, the faculty are now charged with teaching about, quote, systems of power, privilege, and oppression, end quote. More than half of the top 50 medical schools now require students to take courses in systemic racism. I'm sure that'll be a huge relief when the doctors
discovered a pill to cure that.
This is Ann Coulter's wit again, as you mentioned. Responding to the fact that more than half of the top 50 medical schools now require students to take courses in systemic racism, she writes that, I'm sure that'll be a huge relief when your doctor misses your brain tumor. In 2021, the Howard Hughes Medical Institute announced that it would spend $2 billion to find a cure for brain cancer, Parkinson's disease, heart disease? No. $2 billion would go to promoting diversity and inclusion in science.
They're looking for that pill. They're going to create a pill to cure racism, apparently. And racism means that you're not down with dispossessing white people
$2 billion
in favor of non-whites.
We're singing for nickels and dimes here, and $2 billion just to be burned, to be thrown away, because you'll never find
Guess who they're going to hire with those $2 billion. It ain't going to be white Southerners, I can tell you that.
In 2022, the National Cancer Institute, which was funded by you, the taxpayer, decided to change its mission from conquering cancer, and really, who cares about that anyway, to guess what? Yes, the real serious stuff, promoting diversity. Instead of outstanding investigator awards being granted solely on the basis of merit, the gender and race of the researchers is now what matters. That's why, Coulter concludes, it falls to the rest of us to never shut up about tearing down of standards, and to relentlessly provide the data that explains the lack of racial proportionality in these institutions that were supposed to have been merit-based.
Well, let me just say this, James. She's wrong in one small respect in this. Why are the $2 billion not going to cure a disease? Well, we've seen that before. It will go to cure a disease that disproportionately impacts black people. For example, when HIV reared its ugly head back in the 80s, remember when Rock Hudson died? He was the first big celebrity to die of HIV. Well, this seem to be impacting black people more than white people. So all of this research money was diverted from heart disease, from cancer research and whatnot, and funneled into finding a cure or at least a way to stop the progression of HIV. That's where all the money went. That's where they do it. See, their reverse, well, not reverse racism, but their racism against whites even finds its way into research facilities. For example, I've never seen much as much ballyhoo about curing a condition than what I saw about sickle cell anemia, which exclusively affects black people. No amount of money was enough until we actually cured or fixed that problem. Meanwhile, heart disease and cancer, things like that that affect all sorts of people, that went begging. They didn't have that type. That type of research was put on hold so that they could go after sickle cell anemia and HIV.
This is totally apart from what we've been talking about. I'm just perusing the headlines. Florida has, and again, some good things happening down there under DeSantis. I'm not going to deny that, but it's on the margins. But I'll take a small victory if I can get it over no victory at all. Florida has removed Black Lives Matter and George Floyd content from school textbooks. Now, how in the world did George Floyd already get put in the history books? How did that happen?
Because leftists are in charge.
But the history books, this was like a year ago.
Well, they rewrite the history book. That's why.
I know that, but
That's why parents have to be very involved in their children's education. That's the one good thing that came out of the COVID quarantines.
A lot more homeschoolers.
A lot more people going in homeschool. A lot of parents were seeing what their children were learning by remote education, and they saw how left-wing woke all of this stuff was. And they caused an outcry. We wouldn't have this law if it hadn't been for the COVID quarantines and the fact that that pulled the lid off of all of this left-wing propagandizing that disguises itself as education in America's educational establishment. And that goes not just for public schools, but private schools. Your private school gets their teachers from the same colleges of education as the public schools, and all of these things have been taken over by the left.
Now, I have told you before that I am on an email list where we, several men, all smarter than me, bounce around issues and talk about different things in the headlines and in current events. And one of the contributors that sometimes pops in on the group email exchange happens to be a conservative rabbi. No fooling. And he emailed something a couple of days ago, and I pocketed it because it was spot on. And this is what. And by the way, we have one Jewish listener. I know we have one Jewish listener in Michigan, and broken bread with him, good guy. But this is what the rabbi writes. In European civilization today, there are several, but at the same time, I say that because I want to be fair. I want to be objective. I can say, yes, these guys are good, but the truth still must be told. And that's what we've been doing tonight. And that's what we've been doing for 19 years. But he writes, in European civilization, this is where you got to decide what kind of man, what kind of woman, what kind of person do you want to be. In European civilization today, there are several approaches to our rulers. You can be one of five people. You can have one of five responses. Number one, you can be like us. You can be like our enemies, those who have internalized and ruthlessly promote the new dogmas, those with the real power in education and media, the true sources of power. You can be
so that you can make money.
You can be number two, the group like us, who understand the new dogmas and fight against them, a small group increasingly banned from media. You can be like the Republican Pied Pipers, phonies who make believe that they fight against the new dogmas when, of course, they don't, and they're only looking after their individual selves. They want to keep their job. They want to keep their positions, but not getting
money.
Too close to the truth. Or you can be like the fourth set of people, which is what most people are, those who just want to know what he or she has to do or say at any given time in order to get on with a peaceful life. Or you can be like a lot of our MAGA friends, those who are vaguely upset, but they understand little. Now, those are the five types of people you can be, and you will have to make a choice on which one you want to.
And let's talk about that fifth category, okay? Those type of people, the reason they don't know is because they've internalized the boundaries set by the media mavens, by the people that own the media, by the people that run our government, by the people that run our institutions. And they don't want to listen to people like David Duke, for example. They want to listen to somebody like Sean Hannity. Well, you're never going to find your way out of the woods listening to Sean Hannity, unfortunately, okay? And you're not going to find your way out of the woods listening to Bill O'Reilly or Glenn Beck or all of these other people that are paraded, trotted out in front of us as experts and people on our side of things. They are disinformation agents. And they don't do it by telling you a lie. They do it by only telling you part of the truth. If you don't understand the central importance, if you get one thing from this show tonight, get this. If you don't understand the central role that Jewish power and influence has played in the transformation of America over the past 70 or so years, then you're missing the point.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for tonight. And we will talk to you again next week, God willing, for Keith Alexander, our featured guest of the evening, David Duke. I'm James Edwards. Good night, God bless, and Godspeed.
www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.